Welcome to the Connected Insurance Podcast, presented by Agency Revolution. Listen to interviews with the most influential people in the insurance industry. Learn the most important strategies, tactics, trends, and challenges facing today's independent insurance agents and brokers. New episodes every Wednesday. Visit agencyrevolution.com and click media to explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers. Subscribe today and get updates delivered right to your inbox. And now, without further delay, the Connected Insurance Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Michael Janz, co-founder of Agency Revolution. And I want to welcome you to the Connected Insurance Podcast presented by Agency Revolution, creators of Fuse, the insurance marketing software that skyrockets retention, boosts policy per customer, and makes your clients love your agency without having to hire more staff, programmers, or technologists. And I want to welcome you to a conversation that I found really extremely interesting given the time. We talk about two very critical topics, both of which I think you should pay attention to. The first one of my personal passions, and I say personal because it's based on 25 years of observation and engagement in the insurance industry, and that topic is strategy. And I think in this conversation, we attempt to make a clear distinction between strategy and tactic and to put them in the rightful place, both important, in some ways, definitely not equal. And I suppose it wouldn't be unlikely that you could randomly walk down the street of your community and knock on the door of any local insurance agency, knock, 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 and say, hey, would you be willing to show me your strategy? And they wouldn't have any idea what you're talking about. So in this conversation, my guest, Mike Reddy, makes it very clear that the days in which that is acceptable, or the days in which you can survive without a sense of where you're going, without a clear strategic plan that gives you a map to where you're going, those days are probably over. And in that part of the conversation, he shares four questions. And if you're not driving, they're writer downers, okay? So drive carefully if you're listening to this podcast. The other topic that we talk about, and I do this with Mike because he is one of the nation's leading experts and very, very successful in the field. We talk about the state of benefits in the property and casualty insurance agency right now. Now, if you're not engaged in benefits, please don't turn that part off. First of all, you may want to reconsider not being involved in it. And secondly, you should at least be aware of the kinds of trends and forces that are accepting that part of the world. So, not much further ado, as I've said before, for those of you who do want to reach out to me, getting easier to do. Again, apologies for being relatively dormant on social media for a long, long time. Dormant because when I sold Agency Revolution, I think I had the right to take a break. Yeah, but I am back and slowly sneaking back into the world of social media. Instagram, kind of for fun, an opportunity to I suppose, get a glimpse on the casita lifestyle and what I do here in the remote foothills of the Sonoran Desert. And then also LinkedIn, where I do definitely engage in business communication and try to give my followers or my connections a hint of what's coming up and some insights on what I see happening in the insurance industry right now. Mike Reddy, terrific guest, very important executive at the Keystone Insurance Group. And so now, really without further ado, it is my privilege to introduce you to my friend, Mike Reddy. Mike Reddy, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you?
Doing very well. How are you today?
Well, I'm doing fine. I got my coffee. Not all my candidates won in the election, but the Blazers did. So, you know, it all balances out. How about you?
Same thing. My coffee's in front of me. I don't know that anybody had all their candidates win last night, so maybe that's a good thing for the country. We'll
see. Yeah, there we go. A little bit of balance there. But in any case, it's always good when the Blazers win. We can look forward to another season where they do the best they can, and then they melt down in the playoffs. So it's a long history of broken hearts. All righty. So that being said, Mike, let's trivia out of the way. If you would, I want to start with a little thumbnail sketch of who you are and how you got to be where you are. You have an interesting story.
Sure. I've spent about 28 years in this business, most of it on the employee benefits side. About 9 years ago, the agency that I was president of and leading sold our employee benefits division to Keystone Insurers Group. And Keystone's a franchisor of insurance agencies, and one of the value plays that they wanted to offer to their partners was the opportunity to excel in the benefits arena. So we've taken a relatively modest benefit shop and grown it to about 40 employees, and as we assist our Keystone partners in 12, soon to be 13 states on all things benefits. So my background was, I started out as a producer, ultimately into the role of the president of the benefits division. I now lead all of field operations.
Right. Okay.
And my time split between the field operations. I do a lot of strategic planning, and it's something that I'm real passionate about, and then working with our benefits folks. So
okay.
I do a lot of things, wear a lot of hats, and stay real busy, but I love it.
A couple of things. Number one, for listeners who are thinking the only thing Mike is going to talk about is benefits, and if you don't have benefits, you might want to run. I would suggest don't, because there are two topics that Mike and I agreed we were going to dive into. One, strategic planning, which affects everybody. And I think we'll start with that. And then two, benefits, because it's really, really important in the industry. And even if you don't have, if our listeners, some of them don't have a benefits division, I think you should listen to what Mike has to say about that. So and now I understand that you and I have had a history as well, and you probably know more about it than I do. I have to offer my apologies that I'm not. It's very different when you're on stage and there are hundreds of people, or when you're running a program and there are hundreds or thousands of people. Unless you make that personal connection, sometimes it's hard to put names and faces together. So you and I had a little bit of a history back there. What was that, 10 plus years ago?
Yeah,
when was that?
Over that. So when I, in probably 2002 or three, I was really looking for some help from a marketing standpoint, and we were growing, and I couldn't find anything in the space that I was in, the benefits space, that I was satisfied with from a marketing standpoint. And I came across some Quantum Club stuff, and I got this big box full of stuff, and I said, this is what I've been looking for, and I became a member of the Quantum Club and did that for several years. Attended the big blowouts in Chicago.
Right. The old boot camps, right.
Yeah, boot camps, that was it. And we did, and I just took the principles from a marketing standpoint that I learned, and I applied them on a benefit space, and it worked well for us and achieved a lot of growth, and I appreciate having that available when it was, because it was pivotal in our growth.
Well, okay, terrific, and I hope you're still taking advantage of some of those principles. All right, so let's, as I said, let's kind of break this down into two chunks. Number one, strategic planning. Number two, employee benefits. So your interest in strategic planning, does that come from some of the strategy that you applied when you were, sort of actively running your own thing? Or does it come from work you're doing at Keystone working with agents and brokers? Or, what got you started kind of along the path to recognize the critical importance of strategy?
Sure. Yeah, the answer is yes.
Okay.
All of the above. I came upon a profound need for strategic planning in our organization probably 4 or 5 years ago, and we began to do some planning on our own, recognizing, you know, that at some point along the way, probably 3 years ago, that we needed some help. And so I hired a consultant to come in and take us through a process.
Mm-hmm.
And not only I had him take me through the process for my division at Keystone, I had him take me through the process, and my teams, I should say my teams and not me.
Right.
This is all team-based. Through our traditional property and casualty agency, which is a Keystone partner, and just recognized that there was a lot of power in proactively and on purpose putting a plan in place. And we follow a process called StratOp, which, you know, you've got your strategic, which is planning for tomorrow, today, and your operational. You got to plan for today, and you got to look at the financial side because you've got to finance both what you're doing today plus what you're going to do tomorrow. And in that whole process, recognizing that strategic planning is not an event. It's not something that happens one time and then you get a book and you put it up on a shelf or maybe you try to execute from it, but it's a process and it's something, you know, one of the words that we use in the strategic planning process is renewal, which is something that all insurance agents are familiar with, the renewal, or, you know, sometimes we'll call that a continuation. And when you go through a planning process, you know, you have your period certain in which you're going to try to execute. But along the way, you measure how you're doing, you look at the metrics, and then you renew your plan. And if you do it on a continual basis, then you're proactively on purpose planning all the time rather than having an event where you make a bunch of changes and try to fix whatever's broken.
All right. I have a lot of questions I'm going to ask you about this. Number one, because you work with a lot of agents and brokers, in your experience, is it the minority that engages in strategy and planning, do you think?
I think it's a very small minority that proactively do it in a manner that yields significant results over time.
Okay. You gave me the answer I thought you were going to give me, but, you know, let me wipe off my sad face and so ask, I think, you know, there are theories about why, but why do you think when it's so obvious that an entrepreneurial enterprise should have a map and it should have a sense of direction, you know, it should really think about where it's going and how it's, you know, as they say, where are we going to play and how are we going to win? Those are sort of the two strategy questions. When that's so critical, why do you think so few do that?
I think what happens is we get into what we're doing, we get used to what we're doing, we tend to begin reacting to everything that's happening, and we lose that entrepreneurial edge that brought us into this business, that fueled us to win, that excitement. And I think that gets dulled sometimes, and we're going through the motions. And in this business, there are a lot of agencies who are, in most people's eyes, successful. They make good money. They may not be growing. We're a great business where, you know, if you do a decent job, 90% of your clients buy again from you next year. It shouldn't be that hard to grow.
Okay, so you think to some extent, I mean, once you achieve some critical mass, it's too easy to make money?
I think
that's part of it. Okay. And that will probably change. That's maybe a bold prediction, but it will be certainly quite possible to make, you know, have a very, very strong agency or brokerage, but easy isn't necessarily not what I would predict given turbulent waters. I mean, really, I think, you know, would you agree that agents are going to need to really stay awake, alert, and be able to navigate through some kind of turbulent waters in the next few years?
Absolutely. And we've seen that disruption in different areas of our business, and it's, you know, it's happening here and there. At some point, we're going to see some pretty significant disruption, and it's going to shake out. It's going to create some clear winners and losers.
Okay. that's a big statement that I think I'm not going to disagree with, nor really would many of my previous 90-plus guests. But it's a strong statement that there will be clear disruption and clear winners and losers, right? And I'm going to ask you to comment on that, but I want to dig into your concept of strategic planning. Let me share an observation. Tell me if this is what you see. Step one, agents realize, gosh, there's a lot of change, right? It is a turbulent time. Technologies are changing all over the place. Consumer behavior is changing all over the place. And then the gurus come in and they say, do this, do that. You know, here's a really nifty tactic. And then a lot of people end up chasing the shiny new thing, the next shiny new thing. And they're looking for tricks or tactics and technique before they get clear on their core concept of strategy. In other words, they really haven't figured out the fundamental core principles that are going to align all the tactics and techniques. Do you see that a lot?
Yeah, I mean, very well stated. Oftentimes we believe that there's a silver bullet, that there is. And sometimes that silver bullet is, boy, if I could just hire the right producer, I could just get that rock star account manager or account executive, whatever. And so it becomes a series of tactical moves that maybe are not tied to a cohesive strategy. And we see that this silver bullet didn't really pan out, or this one didn't really pan out.
Or somebody says, you know, here's a twinkling new Instagram thing to do, right? Which is fine, but it has to fit within the context of strategy.
Correct.
So when you think of strategy, like strategy versus tactic or strategy versus technique, how do you define strategy itself?
I think what needs to happen is that an organization, in this sense, an insurance agency, needs to look at where they're at right now and develop perspective. And when you think about, an agency that's got 10 or 15 or 20 employees or however many they have, you've got, 20 or 30 different perspectives. People have different histories with the company, different tenures in the business and everything else. And everybody's strategy is going to look a little bit different based upon the perspective of the people in the group. And so often we try to cookie cut or something, and like you were alluding to earlier, you grab the Instagram thing, or you grab the marketing piece du jour, or the carrier du jour that seems to be working for everybody else.
Right.
That is probably not the right thing for your organization. And what we have, so speed in Western business culture is highly valued. If we have a problem, we move from point A to point B as rapidly as possible to try to solve that problem. And oftentimes that eliminates getting the correct perspective. And if you do strategic planning right, you circle the problem and you look at it from multiple directions, multiple perspectives, so that you can get a true perspective or a true understanding of what the problem is.
Okay, so I love talking about strategy because I think it's this sort of if I was going to like throw everything out and I could only hold on to one thing, yeah, it would be strategy. And I say that as a lot of people see me as the marketing guy. He's got a lot of marketing tricks, and I just that makes me shiver when people say that, because I think it's so critically important that all of those quote unquote tricks that they are really aligned around a core strategy. And so this notion that you have of really circling that problem until you look at it from all angles. It seems to me that really is the critical part of strategic development. Here's my perspective, and then want your feedback on that. That a fundamental purpose of what strategy is supposed to do is it's supposed to assess what's happening in the real world, like really take a hard look at those trends and forces that are changing and affecting the world that we live in. And then from that point of view, we begin to identify strategies that we think with higher probability will allow us to win, right? But it's like once we have that strategy, I think we want to, you know, it's like we want it to be a hard diamond. So you want to go hit it with a sledgehammer. you want to look for everything that's wrong in it. Because if you don't find the stuff that's wrong in it, if you don't find the weaknesses, trust me, the world is going to.
Yes.
Right? And so this, I think it's important that, to share your thoughts on this one, that when an entrepreneurial enterprise or an insurapreneur, an insurance agency or brokerage develops their strategy, that they really have to spend a fair amount of time not just looking internally, like what are our strengths, right? But also, what's happening out there? Who's gunning for us? Who are our immediate competitors? Who are the emerging channel competitors? What are the new channels? What are the changes in consumer behavior? What are the changes in technology? What are all of those things that are outside of our control that kind of give us the big picture about what's happening, the context of what's happening, and then we look at what's within our control so that we can navigate successfully through that stuff. My guess is you don't see a lot of that.
Well, it's really interesting that you phrased it like you did. It's like you teed me up to knock it out of the park. But when, you know, you talked about your experience as a marketing person, and from that standpoint, it doesn't paint a full picture. And when we're doing planning, we use a phrase called breakthrough is horizontal, meaning that, you know, we've got a bunch of people that are from different verticals within an organization, but we've got to come in together and eliminate the vertical so that we can get to the right answer. And a lot of what we do is working with tools such as, you know, you said strengths, weaknesses, opportunities.
Right, the old SWOT analysis. Okay.
Yeah, we call it what's right, what's wrong, what's missing, and what's confused.
That's good. That's good. That's a writer downer. What was that again? So instead of using SWOT, strength, weakness, opportunity, and threat, you use a different model?
Yeah, we talk about what's right within our organization. We talk about what's wrong. We talk about what's missing from the organization. We talk about what's confused within our organization. And it's just a different. Perspective on SWOT,
but yeah, okay.
It gives people a language that draws them out, draws out the answers that are going to be helpful. But then going on further, you know, we're using tools that identify internal patterns and trends within our organization. What's going on internally, and then we look at external patterns and trends. What's going on outside our organization? And when you get a room full of people, 6 to 12 people from an organization who are the thought leaders and who have the highest emotional quotient and intelligence quotient and leadership quotient, when you put them all in a room, when you knock down the barriers and you begin to address the issues, looking at what's right, wrong, missing, and confused, what's going on in our industry, what's going on outside or in our organization, what's going on outside our organization, you begin to develop a much clearer picture of what the issues are so that you can make good strategic moves going forward.
All right. So I'll ask you one question. I'm not going to ask you what's right and what's wrong inside your organization, but when you look at the outside world, okay, the same one that we're all operating in, what are you seeing right now as those big trends and forces that agents and brokers absolutely have to pay attention to?
Big trends and forces, you know, carriers look to the agency system as a distribution channel. And if they get production out of us less expensive than they can do it any other way, they'll continue to do that. I think they're going to continue to look for ways to increase production in, you know, of premium into their organizations. And so they're going to look outside just the traditional agency model. I mean, we've seen a very large carrier recently partner with Amazon. I would sense that we're going to have more and more partnerships that work like that. We've seen Google get in and get out, but they've made heavy investments in the insurance business.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to continue to see heavy investments outside organizations into the insurance world, and it's going to necessitate the agency distribution system to get more efficient and to get more productive. And you know, we're going to have to also embrace, rather than dig our heels in with InsurTech and you know, all the advancements being made in the insurance world, we're going to have to embrace it and make it a part of our practice so that it becomes an asset for us as well.
Ah, okay. So let me see if I can kind of suss out what you see as like critical things. Number one, you think our channel's going to be under some pressure from carriers to continue to be productive.
Yes.
Right? So we need to be good at that. Yeah?
Very
okay.
Good.
We need to be good at production and not just attracting new customers, but the continuation of the relationship. And then you see InsurTech as an emerging threat. But I think what you're saying is agents need to embrace the appropriate technologies and as a channel.
Absolutely.
Right? The
Absolutely.
Agents need to, and as a channel, we need to.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So, if you're going to kind of deliver a message, if you wanted to say something to the agents that are listening, and they probably, if they're listening to this podcast, then there's some higher probability that they understand that strategy is important, but I won't pretend that understanding means doing. And so if you were going to give a piece of insight or piece of guidance about strategic planning. I mean, this is a great time of year, of course. We can be looking at the upcoming year. What would you say?
Well, I believe very much so in the planning process. I mean, to the point where I've been making sure that I'm trained and educated in being able to deliver the process. I think that part of planning is just doing things on purpose and proactively. And I find the most productive people that I've ever been around are proactive. They're not reactive. And it doesn't matter what sphere you are in, the most productive and the best people in whatever industry or area, it's because they're proactive. They're making things happen rather than reacting to things that are happening to them. And I would encourage people to be proactive.
Got it. All right. Words of wisdom for the entire channel. Now I want to move on to the other topic that is clearly within your domain of expertise. And why don't we start big picture? What do you see as the trends and forces that are affecting the benefits side of the industry?
Well, you know, we're going to continue to have the legislative arena volley about a number of different grenades, so to speak. I mean, with the Medicare for All discussion and the pressure for universal health care, that's going to continue to be pushed. I think at this point it's still so expensive that it's just not feasible at this time, but there's going to be continued pressure for government involvement. That doesn't necessarily mean that's going to happen right away, but it's something that we need to be involved in, and we need to be part of the conversation, again, being proactive rather than letting it happen to us. But with the price, the cost of health care just continuing to escalate, there's going to be a greater call for transparency. The health insurance or health care is the only thing that we purchase sight unseen. I mean, if I went into an auto dealership and said, hey, listen, I just want the black one, I don't care how much it costs, you know, people would think I was crazy to buy a vehicle like that.
Yeah.
But that's the way we buy health care. So I think transparency is going to be a big part of that. I think there will be a call from the public for more transparency. And we're going to ask our health care providers to not only be transparent, but we're going to ask them to be competent. And my dad used to joke around, he'd say, you know, half of all doctors finished in the bottom 50% of their class.
Yeah, just hope they're not mine.
Right. Exactly. But we're going to begin to ask doctors to quantify their quality. And we do it in every other arena that we're in. We look at quality measures. And so I think there's just going to be a continued movement. And the transparency element of that will allow, it'll make it easier and easier and easier for people to see what things cost and what kind of quality they're getting for what they're paying for.
Okay.
Those are big trends right
now.
All
right. So let me see if I'm reading between the lines or making stuff up. Okay. So I think to some extent you're saying that the benefits world has a vulnerability because of... political perception, and maybe very likely legitimate political perception, and certainly consumer expectations or consumer frustrations. So there's a vulnerability that then could lead to some uncertainty about the stability of that as a business enterprise. Am I going too far?
I'm not concerned about it as a business enterprise.
Uh-huh.
As long as we are evolving, if the agency channel is evolving as a business along with what the healthcare market is doing, if you continue to do business the same way, your days are numbered. When we look at great, we joke around in our office, it's like 2010 all over again. Because in 2010, when you had the Affordable Care Act passed, there was a lot of disruption in the marketplace. You had a lot of people that just decided they weren't going to sell health insurance anymore, or they did it on a much more limited basis, and we saw a disruption. We've settled in over the last few years and kind of gotten used to the way it was,
right.
And now we've got some more disruption that's occurring. And again, if we keep doing things along that old, hey, I'm going to quote, hope and pray, or if we continue to rely on the carriers to be the differentiating advantage.
Ah, okay.
we're gonna lose.
All right. Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, no, now you got my juices going. So I think that one thing that you said was that if we keep doing it the old way, we're going to lose, and so there must be a new way, right? So help us draw a distinction, a clear distinction between like the old way that's just not going to work and what you think that new way is.
Well, part of understanding the way I'm thinking on the new way is that I've been saying for the last probably 8 or 10 years that commissions in the health insurance arena are eventually going away. And people used to look at me like I had a third eye, but now that's starting to resonate because we're seeing in some geographies, in some
right. I've got clients who lose money on every single policy that they sell. So they're beginning to wonder whether or not in their state whether that's a good line of business to be in.
And
so
even in the 100-plus market, oftentimes commissions are disappearing,
right.
And it's being replaced by fees. And if producers begin thinking of themselves as business people and thinking about what is my time worth and what should I be charging someone to spend time with them, and making sure that that they are prepared if we do ultimately move to a full fee-based model, that they can make that transition. And what you're going to find out is that as often as is in place is that your largest best relationships are subsidizing your smallest, worst relationships.
Right. Well, that happens in almost every line of business. And there was some analysis done by a society of CPAs. It wasn't in this country, but it was in, I think it was Australian. And they discovered, and I can't remember exactly what the number was, but it was probably like an 80-20 rule that like 20% of your clients, and this was across industry, right? This was cross channels, like 20% of your customers are making you really good money and they're subsidizing 80%, something like that. And so for a lot of agents, I think that's absolutely true. So that you've suggested a model that certainly complies a lot with my own thinking that, let's say, old model. Value is provided by the carrier, and it's just that product is passed through the retail agent to the consumer. New model is clearly there's value in the product, but as that product, quote unquote, passes through human hands, right, at the retail, at the agency level, additional value must be added there that's perceived and consumed and enjoyed by the consumer. I think that's part of what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Okay.
and we continue to build on that value in multiple ways. You know, it used to be that you bought insurance from a carrier, and I'll speak to the larger group market. You bought insurance from a carrier because it was more efficient to have them be the claims payer, the risk, the one that took the risk, the premium processor, the pharmacy benefit manager, and all of those things, doing the utilization review. And if you had all functions going to a single entity, then that was the most efficient and least expensive model. But now what we've seen when you've got, I mean, anytime you bring your marketplace down to one or two providers of something, it becomes somewhat inefficient because they get big and they get fat and they get inefficient. And now we're seeing that we can deconstruct a plan and you bring in a different pharmacy benefit manager and a different claims payer and you know, through your TPA, and a deconstructed plan that has tremendous transparency is significantly more efficient than a bloated single plan offered from one of the BUCAs.
Aha. Okay. So so in that new model, where the retail agent, where the insurerpreneur, the principal, takes responsibility for adding value, I suppose number one, there's a mindset shift, right? There, in other words, the agency model, where agency is merely defined as a pass-through or merely defined as a distribution model, I think that's in the past. Is that compliant with your thinking?
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, clearly we are the distribution model, but there have been a lot of changes in the industry. First of all, consumer demand is in the long run not satisfied with our role of not providing value. And then we have competitive channels that are looking for ways to add value. So in that new model, you know, with that mindset shift being made, whether it's PNC or benefits, what do you think is different? When you look at your most successful agencies in your network, and they really are providing value, in other words, they're not just better, but they're better and different. What is different about them than the average? Because you made a bold statement, by the way, dude. I wrote this one down. It was, we will have clear disruption, and we will have clear winners and losers. So I'm guessing that you can kind of look at your network and say, okay, I know who the clear winners are. What is it that they are doing that is different?
Well, one of the basic things is, they're running a business and they're not owning a job.
Okay.
They're running a business.
Yeah,
that's
fair enough.
That's different. What I see happening in the marketplace is, you know, when I started in the business 28 years ago, 29 years ago,
right,
on the health insurance side, there was a dozen or 15 carriers that I could go to at any time that would have some level of competitiveness. And now if you look to the carriers to bring you, and so that was a value. You were the person that sifted through all the options and helped the client.
That was the value. Option. Yeah, okay, right. There's value there. All right, now?
With two carriers in a marketplace or sometimes one carrier in a marketplace, there's no value for the guy to bring you the two because everybody has access to the same two. But the value is, how do I interpret what this tool, the insurance coverage, can do for me? How do I manage risk, and how do I create the environment where I am a better risk? Because, you know, the risk management element of benefits is so much in play right now, whether you're talking about managing, you know, lifestyle, utilizing wellness plans,
uh-huh,
whether you're talking about, you know, managing the drug spend, because that has just gotten out of control. And it's managing the different elements of the health spend. If you look at a health insurance, a self-funded contract, the majority of the cost is the claim spend. It's not the cost of the reinsurance. And so you can work hard, and I still see people do this. They work really hard to save 10% on the fixed cost of the reinsurance contract, but that's such a small percentage. So saving 10% of a small percentage is not nearly as impactful as saving on the claim side. And so managing that risk becomes more and more important with time.
Okay.
So those agencies that are involved in proactively managing that claim spend and managing the risk associated with actually having claims are the ones that are going to be the winners.
All right. Okay, got a question for you. Certain states notwithstanding, it's not uncommon for a number of my clients to identify and analyze the fact that their benefits department is, in some cases, the most profitable. Are you finding that that is, and I've seen that true off and on for a long, 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 long time. Are you seeing that as often the case?
Yes, and it's one of two reasons, and one of them's good and one of them's not so
okay.
Good. You know, the one reason that the benefits department is so profitable is because they have a book of business, maybe it's 15 or 20% of the agency revenue, and they put one person on it to just take care of it. And so, you know, if you've got, let's just say you've got $500,000 book of benefits revenue, and you've got one salary on it that you're paying $100,000 a year, it's not growing. It's probably shrinking at that point, but
yeah.
You're not investing in it. So it's uber profitable. So that's not so good, because that what happens in that model, and I've seen it happen many times, is that person that you're relying on either becomes less and less effective because they're overworked and
right.
Your business shrinks, or they retire, or they quit, or they get, you know,
mm-hmm.
spouse gets transferred. So that's difficult. The other side of it is, you know, you've got an agency that is proactively, they're growing significantly because they are doing things in their market that is different than everybody else, and they're just writing a lot of new business. And when you're with the most innovative person in town, you're going to stay with them as well. So they write it, they retain it, and that can be a very profitable model. And obviously, because it's growing, it's much more desirable.
Got it. All right. You use the word innovative. So this is kind of my last question in this one, but you threw this out. The world in general doesn't look at the insurance industry and say, oh, you know, we're giving awards for innovation, and the insurance industry earns them. Now, I think we're probably in many ways way more innovative than the world thinks. And I think we're seeing a lot more innovation perhaps than we had seen a decade or so ago. But when you think about innovation in an insurance agency, what does that look like?
You know, it can take many forms. It
uh-huh.
can be, you know, and it's different for everybody. But I think innovative thinking right now, this doesn't sound real innovative, but it's providing top-notch training to everybody on your staff. There's so many agencies that don't have strong training programs, and a lot of the training now can be delivered digitally. And I think there's some innovation there. I think innovating in your processes, doing things in a manner that looking at your processes and saying, okay, this is the way we've always done it, and it's because that's the way the person that taught me learned it. But some of those processes are 30 and 40 years old. And we have
no.
to become more innovative in our thinking with
yeah.
those processes.
Yeah.
Sales management, you know, so often we're not truly sales managing. But, you know, when you marry technology up with
uh-huh. yeah.
with your sales management processes, it creates efficiencies that haven't been there before. You know, I'm familiar with a prospecting program right now, and this particular program focuses on cold calling, and it can be used on both sides, whether it's benefits or property and casualty.
Right.
And it uses technology from the standpoint of an automated system that pops your script up on your computer when you determine whether or not it's a voicemail versus a live person. You have one of two scripts,
mm-hmm.
and then there's an email that immediately follows up every voicemail that you leave. And with all that action, you can make about twice as many calls, and you make four times as many contacts in the same period of time.
It's difficult to imagine being in sales without exploiting contemporary technologies, because they are innovative.
And yet there's so many that don't.
Okay. That's probably true. I mean, I couldn't have imagined scaling Agency Revolution without using technology tools and making them available to the sales team.
Absolutely.
All right. I hope you, two questions I've got for you before we wind up. One, if you had an opportunity to deliver a message to the insurance industry And I required you to keep it pithy. So in other words, P-I-T-H-Y.
Yeah.
And so it had to fit on a billboard, right? People are driving by at 70 miles an hour. So you want to deliver a message that kind of hit them right between the eyes. What would you say to the retail insurance industry right now?
I would tell them that change is happening whether or not they like it. And the best way for them to get on board is to develop a proactive plan to move forward and participate.
Got it. All right. Now, we didn't really talk much about Keystone. I think a lot of our listeners are probably very, very familiar with it. And I've interviewed a couple of others from Keystone in the past. But if people do want to learn more, what should they know? And how can they find out more, either make contact with you or contact with Keystone?
So Keystone is now in 12, going into 13 states. We are a franchisor of independent insurance agencies. Not a franchisor in the traditional sense of the word, but rather a partner.
Uh-huh.
That we bring resources to agencies that allow them to participate and compete at any level. And if an agency wants to be, if they're proactive, they're progressive thinking, and they want to grow, Keystone is a fantastic organization to partner with because we provide them with the tools that will assist them in moving to that proverbial next level. And our website is KeystoneINSGRP.com, and I would encourage folks to jump on. We're in 13 states, but rapidly expanding, and I'll use the pithy statement, coming to a state near
uh-huh.
you soon.
Coming to a state near you. And if somebody had a question for you, Mike, is there an email address or anything you want them to use to reach out to you?
Yeah, first initial last name, mReddy, that's M-R-E-D-D-Y, at KeystoneINSGRP.com.
All right. Very good. Mike, this has been a really fun conversation, and it's really nice to reconnect with you after all of these years. It's always a joy for me to see paths cross over and over again in this industry. So on behalf of our listeners, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. I've been privileged to be part of this conversation. You have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Connected Insurance Podcast. If you found this episode informative, please share it with your peers and colleagues. Explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers by visiting agencyrevolution.com and clicking media. Subscribe and get updates delivered right to your inbox. New episodes every Wednesday.